Today's scripture reading is John chapter 5, verses 24 through 27. Again, that's John chapter 5, verses 24 through 27. And it reads, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man."
Amen. What if someone came to you and asked, or said to you, "I hear voices"? You would probably wonder, what's wrong? What kind of voices are you hearing? Especially if there was no explanation immediately, you begin to wonder if everything was all right, especially if it's someone you know pretty well. They come to you and say, "I hear voices." You probably want to know, what kind of voices do you hear? Well, I want you to know this morning, I hear voices. And you hear voices. And I hear voices, and you hear voices every time we turn on the television set. You hear voices. And every time I turn on the radio, I get in my car, and sometimes I turn on the radio. And every time I turn on the radio, I hear voices, and I know you do as well. And I know, unless you work in extreme isolation, when you're in the workplace, you hear voices. And I know even people in prison, as they are in with other inmates, they hear voices. And the voices I'm talking about are those religious voices. You know, sometimes these voices turn religious. You turn on the television set and you hear these voices. These folks are talking religion. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're talking about a lot of spiritual things on the television. And I know that you hear those voices. And when I turn on the radio, I hear these radio personalities talking about Jesus. They're talking about the Holy Spirit. And they're talking about God. And I know the inmates in prison hear other inmates talking about these same subjects. And so we are all subjected to hear these voices. And sometimes, and maybe most often, they are voices of ignorance. We are subjected to hear people talk about God when they do not know what they're talking about. And yet we are subjected sometimes on the job. You're doing your job, and yet someone comes and offer you a word about Jesus. And they come and they just strike up a conversation and start telling you about Jesus. And oftentimes you're trying to be polite, but you disagree with what they're saying about Jesus. But you have to be polite, and sometimes you don't really want to engage. Not the time, maybe not the place. Maybe you don't have an opportunity to open the Bible, so we're subjected to just hear and listen to sometimes much ignorance regarding God, his Son, the Holy Spirit. And as I thought about these voices of ignorance, opinions regarding God and his Son, the Holy Scriptures, sadly for many, their reality is this is all of the Son of God that they'll actually likely hear. Is these type of voices when they turn on the television set and whatever they want to listen to as far as religious programming, this is likely really all they'll ever get. They have shows that they are fond of watching and they say, "Boy, I really like this particular individual. I listen to him all the time. He really just stirs me up and gets me going." And you know what? That's about all they'll get. Well, by the time you meet people and you take this, you show them biblical truths, they are so familiar with and indoctrinated by those voices that they've been hearing that they will outright reject the word of God even when they read it for themselves. You're wondering why they reject it. I'm telling you why they reject it, because of those voices. They've been listening to those voices. They know about those voices they hear on television. That has indoctrinated them. That has infiltrated their mind, and that's how they live. They respond to those things. They've been listening to the radio. One radio personality had a show, had a segment in his show called Spiritual Vitamins. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but they call this segment of the show a spiritual vitamin, where they give you this little nugget of truth, and you're supposed to take that as a spiritual vitamin, and it's supposed to take you right throughout the day. Hey, come back tomorrow, we'll give you another spiritual vitamin. Well, it's not quite enough to live by. And the spiritual vitamin may be skewed. It may not be in accordance with biblical truth. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that I declare unto you that you don't need all of these voices. You don't need these voices in your head. You don't need to be indoctrinated by these voices. You don't need to have these men's opinions in your head. What you need is the voice of the Son of God. That is the only voice you truly need to hear. Jesus said that the time was coming when his voice would be heard. And I'm telling you, his voice is the voice that should be heard above every other voice. His voice would one day resurrect all from their dreadful condition, being dead in sin and in death. Ephesians 2:1, when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he would say, "And you hath he quickened or made alive, who was at one time dead in your trespasses and sins. But they were made alive because they came forth by the voice of the Son of God," which is exactly what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 5 and verse number 25. And if you have your Bibles, go there with me. I want to just talk with you this morning about the voice of the Son of God. Sometimes they tell me I don't announce my title. Well, let me make sure. The voice of the Son of God is the title of this sermon. Now, how does one hear his voice? That would obviously be a logical question, because when you tell people you hear voices, sometimes they're looking for an audible voice. Well, do I wait to hear his voice? You know, there are some folks who've been listening to those voices who are sitting around waiting, because those voices told them, just wait on him. And so they're sitting around waiting on someone to talk, or something to come and appear in their head, something that tells them what to do. So there's a whole lot of folks that sit around waiting. Well, I haven't had experience yet. He has not spoken to me yet. He's not called me yet. You familiar with this kind of stuff? They're waiting. So should I wait to hear an audible voice, or is he coming through the thoughts that come in and out of my mind? Is that the way the Lord is talking to me? Is that the way I should hear his voice? Well, think about it. Do you always think right? I asked, do you always think right? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing like this. No, you don't always think right. Well, do you always know what to do when you think about it? No. Are you sometimes indecisive? Absolutely. Do you always, or do you sometimes get a little confused at times? Probably so. Have you ever thought something was wrong and then later found out it was all right? But boy, I sure thought that was wrong. But then later on, learning better, I found out there wasn't anything wrong with that. And obviously the reverse is true. Have you ever thought that something was right? All right, then found out later it was wrong. Then you ought to know within yourself, with an examination of self, that he can't be talking to you that way. Because why would God talk to you in a way and in a voice and coming through your head and your thoughts when you could not half the time know that was him? Well, obviously he wouldn't, would he? But he would talk to you in a way that you would be sure. He would talk to you through his word. And in that way, my friends, you will always be certain, because when it comes to the word of God, it's never confused. When it comes to the word of God, it's always right. When it comes to the Word of God, it always knows which direction we ought to go. It's never indecisive when it comes to the Word of God. So we know immediately just from an examination of ourselves, recognizing that we don't always think right. We don't always know what to do. Sometimes we're confused. Oftentimes we're indecisive. And even when we think about it, we still sometimes don't know which direction to go. Then we have to know God could not be talking to us through those means. That's proof enough, just an examination within yourself to know that that's not how he's talking to you. Then it must be in an objective way in which we all can look at the Word of God, follow those instructions, and know every time what's right. You see, when I look at the Word of God, I know what's right. I know it's right every time. When I read it, I know it's right. Why? Because the Word of God said it. And I'm convicted that that's truth. That's the truth that comes from God. So if I follow that, I'm always right. If I follow that, I should always know which way to go. When the world seems confused about this way or that way, I look to the Word of God and I say, this way. All of God's people were sure when they were led by the voice of God. I recall that Joshua, in his farewell address to Israel in Joshua 24:15, he says to Israel, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you choose this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods whom your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house. You think he was indecisive? You think he didn't know which way to go? He said, as for me and my house, with certainty, we're going to follow the Lord. He knew exactly which way to go. And I submit to you, when you follow the voice of the Son of God, you'll always know. You'll always know what's right. You'll always know which way to go. You will never be indecisive as long as the Word of God is guiding you. Well, how then do I hear his voice? Through the Word of God. Let me show you. In Hebrews 1:1-2, God speaks through his Son, through the voice of his Son. Hebrews 1:1, he says, God who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. My friends, in John 15:13, Jesus tells his disciples, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How are they clean? Through his word. That's how they're clean. My friend, there's no other way to be clean except through the Word of God. If you want to be clean, you're going to have to hear the voice of the Son of God. Not only that, notice when his voice is heard, he will give life. Go back to our text in John 5. John 5. And notice verse 25 and verse 26. Brother Craig, come on, read for us.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Hour is coming tonight. That means it was at hand, wasn't it? Yes, sir. Come on, read.
When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they're dead in their sin and their trespasses. That's how they're dead. Dead is the word thanatos, and it means separation. So what are the separation? The separation has to be between that person and God. They do not have a spiritual relationship. And the reason is because they are yet dead in their sins. And it's going to take the voice of the Son of God to call them out of that awful spiritual condition so that they can be resurrected to spiritual life. And that means they will then have a relationship with God. One in accordance with his will, with his desire, with his word. My friends, that's not about hearing those voices on the television and those voices on the radio, because those voices on the radio or television might tell you anything. And it may not be right according to the Word of God. But the time is coming when all shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall what? They that hear shall live. My friends, how will you hear the voice? You're going to hear the voice through his word. Why? Because he is the eternal word. John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Word. Not only that, he is the Word of life. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have handled of the Word of life, He is the word of life. Not only that, Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16 said, holding forth the word of life. Why is he holding forth the word of life? Because it is the word that gives spiritual life. That's why he's holding it forth. Now, if you've got the one who is the eternal word, and then he is also the word of life, then you need to hold forth the word of life to give life. So, my friends, once again, how are you going to come to life? Jesus said, they that hear his voice shall live. We find out now that the doctrine that Paul and others were preaching is the words that actually produced spiritual life. That's how you and I will hear that word today. The same word that was producing life then is the same word that produces life now. We got to hold forth his doctrine. We've got to hold forth his teaching. We've got to hold forth his gospel. Why? Because that's what gives life. That is how man today will hear his voice. My friends, listen. Jesus is the only one that can give life. And what he's left for us is the word that produces that life. If you don't have that word and you don't hear that voice, then you cannot come to realize spiritual life. Now, how does he execute judgment? The same way. Go back to John 5 and notice verse number 27.
And have given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man.
So how is he going to execute that judgment? Through his word. Jesus in John 12:48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. My friends, you know what people need to do today? They need to come to recognize Christ's voice. Well, Brother Dismick, how can I recognize his voice? You got to listen. You got to listen. You got to know what to listen for. See, if you listen carefully, then you will listen for a particular type of voice. You'll know his voice by his characteristics, by the characteristics of his voice. Like, you'll know Jesus' voice. You know, some people say, I know it when I hear it. You'll know it when you hear it. Well, how are you going to hear it? You're going to hear it through the word of God. And what are you listening for? Listen for a voice of authority. That's what you're listening for. You're listening for a voice of authority. Christ always spake with all authority. Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew chapter 7. And notice verse number 28 and verse number 29. The Bible says what, Brother Craig? And it came to pass.
It came to pass when Jesus had ended these things. The people were astonished at his doctrine.
The people were astonished at his doctrine. Come on, read.
For he taught them as one having authority.
There it is. He taught them as one having authority and not like those religious leaders of the day, right? Not as the scribes, not as the Pharisees, but he taught as one having authority. I tell you, when you listen to what Jesus says and how Jesus talks, and you compare it to those voices you hear on the television, you compare it to those voices you hear on the radio, I'm telling you, those are different voices. When Jesus speaks, it's always of a certainty. It's always with authority. My friends, he has all power, all authority. And it's a different type of voice. In fact, in John chapter 7, when those men and those captains went to get Jesus, when they returned, the chief priests and the Pharisees asked them, why have you not brought Jesus? And they said, never man spake like this man. They had never heard anything like that. John 7:46, they said, never man spake like this man. You know why? Just like when they heard Jesus preach his Sermon on the Mount, he spoke with authority. My friends, if you heard Jesus speak, he didn't apologize for anything. Amen. He spoke with authority. Men don't speak like that today. Oh, men are softening the message today so you can receive it. But Jesus spoke with authority, very pointed when he spoke. You look at a Sermon on the Mount and look at the situations and all of the different things that he addressed, and you will notice that Jesus was speaking with authority. He was speaking with such authority that he basically put down the religious leaders of the day, and he would kind of often say, ye have heard it said, but I say unto you. Who speaks like that? But one with all authority. Yeah, you heard him say in the law, but I say unto you. You've heard it been said, but I say unto you. Why? Because he has all authority, and he spoke with all authority. Never man spake like this man. He spoke with authority to inanimate creation. What man does that? Look at Matthew chapter 8 and notice verse number 26. He spoke with authority even to inanimate creation. My friends, I'm telling you why you need to hear the voice of the Son of God rather than men's voices. Come on, read verse 26, chapter 8.
Why are you fearful?
Yes, sir.
O ye of little faith.
Read.
Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea.
He did what?
He rebuked the winds and the sea.
Who does that? Have you ever heard of such sense? You think you'll ever meet a man like that? You think the disciples ever heard anything like that? I know they didn't because of what the Bible says. He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea and said, peace, be still. He told the winds and the sea to stop your boisterous activity. Settle down is what he said. Can you imagine that? Next time it rains, I want you to go outside and say, stop. Well, that's what Jesus did. He said, settle down. Cease. Stop it. Be still. And the Bible says there was a calm. Inanimate creation obeyed his voice as he spoke with all authority. And I know the disciples, do you think they heard a voice like this before? They said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea will obey his voice. But I'm telling you, what voice do you want to hear? What voice do you want in your head? You better get this and get his voice in your head. Because if a man can speak to the winds and the sea and tell them to settle down, that's the voice I want to hear. That's the voice I want to lead me. That's the voice that I want to take me through life. That's the voice I want to help me make decisions. I want that voice in my head. I don't want those voices on the radio. I don't want those voices on television. I don't want the inmate. What? You know how everybody's talking to me anyway. You don't hear me. I want the voice of the Son of God who can tell the winds and the sea to settle down and it obeys. Amen. That's the voice I want. Not only that, he spoke with authority to a fig tree. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And notice verse number 19. Come on, read.
And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon.
Didn't find nothing. What? He was looking for something. He was looking for something because it had leaves on it. And in that part of the area, you know, the fruit grow before the leaves. So the fact that it had this great foliage of leaves displayed, and then when he gets up to it, don't have no fruit on it, the Lord says something to that fig tree. What did he say?
He found nothing but leaves only and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever.
You know what? See, the fig tree was a hypocrite. Just like some of us, not y'all, but some of us, people, sometimes we got a great display. We look good outwardly, but we don't produce anything. We come to church dressed up and looking good, but we don't do no good works. We may not be at all what we're supposed to be. Well, that's what he saw in this fig tree. You said you had some fruit on it. You said it because I saw your leaves display. But when I got up to you and I was looking to receive some fruit from you, John 15, if we don't bear any fruit, he says he's going to cast us out. And so he said, when I got up to you and I didn't find no fruit on you, he said, therefore, since you're dead, go ahead and be dead. Don't ever produce fruit. And you know what? How soon those men marveled at that, because they said, how soon is the fig tree withered? He spoke with authority, and that fig tree presently withered away. You know the reason why Christ could speak with authority? The reason he can speak with such authority and force is because he has all authority. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, he came to his disciples, and he said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20, he says, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And because he had all authority, when he spoke, the demons heard him. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And notice when you get there, verse number 34. Bible says, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. The latter part of that verse. He suffered them not to speak because they knew him. So even the demons had to obey Christ. When he spoke, the dead heard him. Look at John 11. Notice verse number 43. Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened in verse number 44? The Bible says, and he that was dead came forth. The dead heard him. Now I have a question that I need you to seriously contemplate. Listen carefully. If inanimate creation hears his voice, if the demons hear his voice, if the physical dead hear his voice, what's wrong with the living? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with the world? The folk that live around us every day that will not hear the voice of the Son of God. I mean, the winds and the sea, they speak not nor think, but they hear him. He said, cease, stop, sit still, and they obey. The demons are already condemned. Why should they hear them? They're already condemned. Their place is already settled. They're going to burn forever in the devil's hell. There is no chance for them to be redeemed. So they should be saying of everyone, well, you know what? My fate is already sealed, so I ain't got to listen to nothing you say. But you know what the demons, Jesus said, be quiet, don't tell who I am. It's not the time yet. And you know what? They held their peace. Why? They obeyed him. What the demons did. Lazarus is in the tomb dead for 4 days when Jesus shows up. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up out of that tomb and came on out. And Jesus said, take the bandages off and let him loose. Bible even said that he had began to stink at that time. He came forth. Well, what in the world is wrong with the living? Two reasons why the living won't hear his voice. And the reasons might surprise you. But there's two reasons why the living won't hear his voice. And the same two reasons why he should be heard. First, because he speaks with all authority. That's why the living won't hear it. See, he doesn't want your opinions. If Christ wanted your opinion, he'd give it to you. And we don't tend to like that kind of thing, do we? He has all the classic characteristics that if viewed improperly, people will hate. Let me tell you what I mean. When you hear his voice, he can be dogmatic. And we don't like people who are dogmatic. But Christ can be rather dogmatic when you hear his voice. You know, if you want to worship me, you must. John 4:24, do it in spirit and in truth. He said, you have to do it. That's the only way to do it. You're going to do it my way or else. See, folk don't like that. We don't like anyone talking to us like that. Now, do we? We don't care if you're right. Just don't talk to me like that. Don't tell me what I have to do. And I don't have to do nothing. We like that. Don't attitude. Or is it just me? Now, when I come across your street and I'm talking about something, go and say amen. So we know it's you. Jesus is dogmatic. But not only that, he gives ultimatums. Now, who likes ultimatums? No one likes ultimatums. But when you deal with Jesus, you might get an ultimatum. Luke 14:27 is a good example of that. Jesus would say that either you deny yourself or you cannot be my disciple. Well, for a lot of us, that's where we draw that line. Now, I do with you, but don't be giving me no ultimatum. That's what we do. Jesus can be judgmental. And boy, you know that movement in the world today that says you can't judge anyone. Well, Jesus can be rather judgmental. That's why folks don't want to hear his voice. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. Now, wait a minute now. You don't have to tell me how I feel, and you can't tell me how I feel. John 14:15, Jesus can. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In fact, verse 21, he that loveth me, he it is that keeps my commandments. If you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. But if you do, you will keep my commandments. And so Jesus can actually be pretty judgmental when it comes to your feelings. We want to love Jesus and do nothing he says. But people are duped into believing that they truly love Jesus. Well, Jesus can be rather judgmental. He can be exclusive. He'll exclude your family. Jesus does not make any special provisions for the heathens that are in your family. Those heathens have a better chance of costing you heaven than anyone else. It's the heathens that are closest to us that can influence us and pull us in the wrong direction. And a heathen is a heathen to Jesus. Just because you think the heathens in your family are somehow better than the heathens in the world, my friends, you've sadly mistaken. A heathen is a heathen to Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus is truly one who calls a spade, if you will. And the world says that you should support your family. And you know people have this little code. You know, that's my family, right or wrong, that's my family. You ever heard that foolishness? That's my family. You know, that's my brother, right or wrong. I'm going down. I'll ride or die. You know, that's my family. You know, I don't care. He might be wrong, but I'm with him. Yeah, that's that street stuff, right? That you grew up with. You got to be down with your family and all this kind of stuff no matter what. Yeah, that might be fine if somebody was hurting them physically and you were trying to stop it. But it's another thing altogether when they just wrong morally, you know, in every kind of way, lying and no good and all that kind of stuff, and you support them? No. No. Not at all. The world says support your family, right or wrong, that's your family. Jesus says separate from those heathens in your family. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and notice verse number 34 through 37.
Think not that I come to send peace on earth.
Uh-huh.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Uh-huh, read.
For I have come to set a man at variance against his father,
uh-huh,
and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
A man's foe shall be they of his own household. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, or children, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. My friends, Jesus forever settled it during his earthly ministry. He had physical family, did he not? But look at Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus forever settled this situation and this discussion as to which he would choose. Matthew 12 began in verse number 46 and read on down. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Hold on, can you imagine this? Jesus preaching. Here he is preaching. Got a whole crowd of folks there listening to him. And where's his family? They're outside. They're out there. Knocking on the door. Can you get Jesus? Tell him his mama out here. A couple of his brothers. Tell him, come on out. We want to talk to him. Got something to tell him. He preaching. You ever seen those heathens in your family show up? on Saturday but can't come to church on Sunday. You know some of them heathens? Oh, they want to be with you until it's time to come here. Why wasn't Jesus' family in the audience while he was preaching and teaching the kingdom of God? Keep reading.
Desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without.
And somebody came in and interrupted him. Jesus, your folk outside, they won't talk to you. How do you think that made Jesus feel? I mean, just think about that for a moment. He's preaching the kingdom of God. His family's outside. Send someone in to tell him that they need to talk to him while he's preaching. Which one you think he thought was more important? And I know from scripture he did not appreciate that interruption. I know by the way he answered. Read.
Desiring to speak with thee, but he answered and said.
But he answered. And what did he say?
He said unto him,
wait a minute. Listen, I'm just simply trying to call you to look the scripture the way God intended for you to receive it. If I said something like that, how do you think my mother would receive that? Imagine my family standing out there and then send someone in here while I'm preaching and tell me they want to talk to me outside, and then I tell the person to come in, who is my mother? Don't you think he was rebuking them? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? I tell you what, they're not the ones outside. Because if they were truly my mother and my brothers, they'd be in here listening to my doctrine, listening to my preaching, listening to my teaching. But the ones who are sitting here, who are taking in the doctrine and sitting at my feet and hearing of my word and learning of the gospel, and all these who will show favor to God, these are the ones who are my family. That's not my family. Don't you think he didn't appreciate that interruption? Well, if you didn't before, you do now. He didn't appreciate that. And it showed by the way he gave his answer. There is nothing in those scriptures that indicate Jesus stopped what he was doing and went out to see what they wanted. You can't read that into the scriptures that that's what he did. By his answer, we know he didn't do that. His mother and his brethren were sitting in front of him listening to his teaching. So he didn't have no need to go outside because he was always already with his mothers and his brothers. Well, Jesus forever settled that situation. Why does the living not hear his voice? Because he speaks with all authority. And secondly, because he has all authority. The reason people would rather listen to the radio personalities is because they don't have any authority. That's why. And if you don't want to do what they say, you don't have to. You know, I listen to so-and-so, but I don't agree with everything he said, but I do like his show. See, there's no authority to that. I don't have to go along with anything he's truly putting out. I don't agree with it, so I don't really have to do it at all. I only have to comply with those things that appeal to me personally. The things I like, the things of which I agree. Well, that's the way people listening to that stuff. That's why they rather listen to those voices than the voice of the Son of God. Because when the Son of God speaks, he has all authority, and that means no one can speak for him. Let me tell you this, and then I'm going to take my seat. The Pope can't speak for Christ. Why? He lacks the authority to speak for Christ. The denominational preacher cannot speak for Christ. Why? Because he lacks the authority. Anytime you hear someone saying something that has not been revealed in Scripture, some new revelation, that person is trying to speak for Christ. They have these things that they say are always coming to their heart. I just feel it in my heart, or someone put this on my heart, or God put this on my heart this morning, and all this kind of stuff. And oftentimes when folks have stuff put on their heart, it disagrees with Scripture. It disagrees with Holy Writ. And then they claim it's from God, and you must trust their interpretation of it. Well, they lack authority to speak for Christ. There is no one on this green earth that can speak for Christ. Gospel preachers cannot speak for Christ. We can't speak for Christ. The only thing we can do is say amen to what Christ has spoken. The only thing we can do is say the same thing. That's why the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man's going to minister, let him do it as the ability that God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified. Amen. To whom be praise and honor through Jesus Christ. My friends, if we're going to speak, we got to speak that which is written. In fact, the Bible says that we are not to go beyond that which is written. The only thing any man can do is say the same thing. And that's why we put so much Scripture out, because the less I talk and the more these Scriptures talk, the more you can hear the voice of the Son of God. But when I come and start talking out of my head and telling you I felt this and this came to my mind, this came to my heart, you better run up out of here. Don't listen to that foolishness. That's the kind of stuff that'll get you condemned. That's the kind of stuff that gets you in trouble. That's the kind of stuff that'll cost you your soul. What we need is the Word of God. Why? Because He has all authority. And if He has all of it, I have none. Tell men to leave their opinions at home. Leave their thoughts and ideas and all that stuff at home, and pick up the Word of God and preach that which is written. And my friends, we ought not to go beyond what's written. Just preach the Word of God. When Paul writes to Timothy, he said, preach the Word and be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Time is coming when men are not going to endure sound doctrine. Not going to put up with this foolishness. You see, the sound doctrine is foolishness to man. He doesn't want sound doctrine, because sound doctrine will tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And you don't want that. You don't want those dogmatic statements. You don't want ultimatums. You don't want to do it the way God said it. You want to do it your own thing, and the Word of God will not allow for it. So He says, you preach the Word, and the time is coming. Men are not going to do a sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. I like so-and-so. I like so-and-so. Yeah, T.D. Jakes will send you straight to hell. You can love T.D. Jakes, but he'll send you straight to hell. Why? Because he's not talking directly from this. He's saying some stuff, but he's not saying it according to the Word of God. Creflo Dollar, all them folks will send you to hell. Joel Osteen going to send a whole lot of folk to hell. Love Joel Osteen, but you know what? You got to speak for the Word of God. You can sit and listen to some of this foolishness of being put out that you hear, these voices you hear on the radio or on television. And when you listen to them, my friends, sometimes they don't even use a scripture. All this philosophical talk and jargon that's going nowhere. I can get me a self-help book for that stuff. But when I hear preaching, I want to hear the Word of God. I want to know what it means. Cause the people to understand. Preach the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:3, he says, I besought thee with Obadiah still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that I might have charged them not to teach no other doctrine. He said, neither give heed to fables and inner genealogies which minister to question, rather than godly edifying which faith so do. He says, you know what? Don't teach anything else but sound doctrine. That's it, and that's all. What voice you going to hear? I want that voice that can tell the wind and the sea to settle down. That's the voice I want. I want that voice that can tell the fig tree, since you want to be a hypocrite, don't bring no more fruit forever. And I guarantee you, if that fig tree is still standing, ain't got no fruit on it. Guarantee you that. I want that voice that can tell the dead to come forth physically, and it responds. Now, what voice you want? My friends, this voice that you heard this morning, you know, all I've done was giving you a fancy way of saying you need to get back to the Bible. That's all that is. Just get back to the Bible, the Word of God. That's all you need. See, when you get into the Bible, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Jesus says, I will build my church. Matthew 16:18, gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus says he only has one church. He only has one body. See, when you hear that voice, my friends, you've got to follow that voice. He tells you exactly what you need to do to be saved. He tells the disciples in Mark 16:16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When you get to hear them other voices, they tell you, you don't have to be baptized. Not to be saved. It's just an outward sign of inward grace. What voice did you hear? You ain't never read that. You ain't never heard that from Jesus' voice. But he is the voice of authority. Which one are you going to listen to? He says he has a church. He has one church. He says he says you've got to get in this church by means which he prescribed in his word. So you believe in him. If you don't believe in him, John 7:24, John 8:24 and 21. If you don't believe in him, he said, whither I go, you cannot come. Cannot come. And he said he was going to heaven, John 14:1-6. So if you want to go with Jesus, you better believe. But you got to repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. My friend, so if you don't repent, what voice you hearing? Somebody tell you, all you got to do is believe. Well, what about the repentance? Don't you have to repent? Jesus said you did. Which voice are you listening to? There's only one voice that's going to give life. Those other voices don't give life. There's only one word of life. Those other voices don't give life. Which voice are you going to listen to? Jesus says you got to confess. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. So Jesus says you have to confess him. Are you going to confess it? But if all you have to do is believe, where's the confession? Romans 10:19, Paul agrees with him and said, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. But man believes with the heart. But that confession comes with the mouth unto salvation. Which voice you going to listen to? Paul agrees with Jesus. Jesus says be baptized. Paul says be baptized. Peter says be baptized. Which one are you going to listen to? They all agree. When Jesus sent those disciples out, he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel, that word of life. And everyone that believes and is baptized, he said, shall be saved. Doesn't that sound like John 5? They hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When they went out preaching that gospel, Jesus says, take it to all the world. And when you preach that gospel, those who believe it and are baptized shall be saved. And when the first gospel sermon was preached, isn't that what Peter said? Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then they, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of or by that authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, doesn't that sound like what Jesus told them in Mark chapter 16, that if they did the same thing and those folks responded to that, they would be saved? But then what's wrong with folk today? So again, what voice are you hearing this morning? I know which voice I want in my head. I just told you what voice you need in your head. Now, if you respond to that voice, what you need to do, get out of your seat. Come on up here. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, because you'll be ashamed of him. He said, I'll be ashamed of you. Come meet me down front. And we will help you, my friend, this morning by listening to the voice of the Son of God, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll be saved by him, and you will know, my friends, it's right. Why? Because God spoke this morning. You heard, didn't you? Why don't you respond to it? I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. We sing an invitation song. As we stand, why don't you come? Come on up here and give yourself your life to Christ this morning. Gospel obedience.